someone wanted to ask.
I have a question from yesterday's class.
Okay.
You were mentioning about in the verse it said how we shouldn't make distinctions between good and bad. And you made the point that as leaders are put in a position where they may have to be able to distinguish between the two. So to what extent do devotees in general, people in general?
Everyone has to, from the practical point of view. In one sense, everyone's also directly involved. But they do it in terms of the action and relate to the action as opposed to the relating so much to the actor. What is it someone is doing, and an action is good or bad, and of course that also means that the person is labeled as either being good or bad, but that's a convention. Everyone has to, but still we see that everyone is spirit soul, everyone is a instrument of modes of material nature, or beyond that, everyone is an instrument in Krishna's hands. And but that's what discrimination is. Just because there's equanimity doesn't mean that one doesn't determine, can't distinguish between right from wrong. In fact, that's, let's say, a fundamental qualification of a human being and also a devotee, like telling the difference between right and wrong and then acting accordingly.
About the failure of education.
About the what?
Failure of education.
Oh.
I know Prabhupada also said similar things, and something that a little bit disheartens me just because I'm newly graduated with a view to serve devotees and provide for my family and also just contribute to society. Just so they don't, you know, see devotees as just radical religionists, they see that, you know, we're contributing to society. So when you were saying about the failure of education, was that about karmis or about devotees?
The system. Because what does education represent? It's representing a materialistic way of life. It's not education about what the purpose of life is. You didn't learn any of that in school. And it's education and being part of a society that has a fundamental underlying philosophy. That underlying philosophy is embedded in Darwin's law of evolution, theory of evolution, no law. Darwin's theory of evolution, it's embedded in the whole concept that ultimately matter is the cause of everything and not God. And that there's only one life, and people should just enjoy. And for the purpose of that enjoyment, we should have a consumer-oriented society where nothing really matters other than just the present. So as useless as that outlook is on life, that's how useless what prepares people and qualifies people for that, which is what the educational system is. It's not that in the Vedic system there wasn't education. There was very extensive education. It was generally 20 years of education. But the education is not about what you are, it's about who you are. And it's about being able to attain and perfect the goal of life, because that's why we're here. So education is essential, because people aren't all born like Prahlad Maharaj, where they already know anything without being told. But it's a question of what it is that they're being told, and therefore the general system of education is how people are going to fit into today's society. And further the aims of that society. Of course, devotees can preach under those conditions. Devotees can preach under any condition. I'm not working as an engineer. I guess I could preach as one. And there are different different types of devotees. Devotees of different levels of commitment. Some devotees connect their life with Krishna consciousness, and other people give their lives to Krishna consciousness, and then there's so many variations. So it may be a common word, but doesn't necessarily all mean the same thing. It's like we're devotees, and Prahlad Maharaj is a devotee. That doesn't mean that we're equal to Prahlad Maharaj. Of that we're accepting Krishna and we're chanting Hare Krishna, and that's one. But then there's also a difference, and we also have to accept the difference. So we're chanting Hare Krishna, and Prahlad Maharaj is chanting Hare Krishna, but there's a difference between how we're chanting.
Find ourselves in our occupational duties or duties at home or professions. So how can in those positions, how can we be sthanisthita, how can we be situated in Krishna consciousness? That is
by chanting, hearing, by giving Krishna consciousness to others. I guess the balance between and that's what's accessible to anyone and everyone, and that's what we try to encourage other people to do. But everyone should really be clear about, everyone has to be clear about values. It's just like some theologians or even some religious organizations trying to wed Darwinian evolution with spiritual life. It doesn't work. It's just selling away your soul. Just because the underlying principles are and the conclusions are so fundamentally opposed. So everyone really needs to be clear about the futility of material existence, so that at some point they actually give it up. And if you don't get it up when you're 15 or 20, then you should give it up when you're 50 or 60. But at a certain point, you have to give it up. You can't just, shouldn't just hang around so that one can actually absorb oneself full time in Krishna consciousness. It's my Vidyakoda. I'm going to take the deities over there.